Welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Right Way, a podcast for business owners through these uncertain times. Today's podcast takes a little bit of a different theme as we discuss the news and the announcements from the government this week. My guest, Greg Hughes, who first featured on the Cash is King podcast, our first ever episode, is going to be my guest, where we go over the announcements on Tuesday by the government, which related to the increased funding around business consultancy support for business owners. We're also going to go over the tax changes and what they mean. And also we'll spend a bit of time talking about alert level 3 and what that means for business owners when they're opening their doors. Some practical things to think about and ideas of how that could affect your cash flow in both a positive and negative way. If you enjoy this podcast, please write a review or hit the like button, and please subscribe on the app or platform that you're listening to us today. If you want to keep up to date with any other news and information that Right Way are releasing, check out our social media channels, but also feel free to join our Right Way Business Hub Facebook group, which has got a much more up-to-date content of news, articles, and a great way people can ask questions and we can all interact. Hope you enjoy. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Stu, and welcome back.
Yeah, back. So if you haven't, everyone, check out our first ever podcast on Business Isn't Usual podcast, which was us talking about cash flow. And that was about 2 weeks ago now.
Only 2 weeks.
Today's podcast, only 2 weeks. It does seem like that. Time has taken its toll with this whole process. So, for the audience, we're going to be talking about, we're recording this on Friday the 17th of April. So this week's been a big week in announcements from the government and a number of areas. And we just want to talk about a few of those. We'll talk about the business consultancy support package that was announced on Tuesday. We'll briefly talk about some tax changes, and we'll also talk about alert level 3. And we're going to go through what that means for business owners, but we're also, I think, talk about some practical stuff, and we'll talk about particularly about HOSPO, which is affected. So I guess, Greg, before we kick off, when we first talked only 2 weeks ago, we were all the questions from clients was wage subsidy. How does that work? How do I apply? What's my cash? 2 weeks on, 2.5 weeks on, what's the conversation you're now having with your customers?
The wage subsidy one has dropped away, but I think a lot of customers are starting to realize now that while they got a lump sum, which is great, the realization that actually lasts 12 weeks. And the dollar value of the wage subsidy as it impacts on their business probably only lasts a month. So they're facing increased cash flow issues about how do they fund the difference between the subsidy and what they want to pay their staff for the following 8 weeks. So again, cash flow is very big in their mind. The other challenge I'm putting to my clients is saying, up until now, time has been your enemy. You've been so busy working in your business, you haven't been able to, excuse the cliche, work on your business. So I've been giving them little techniques about how to look at their business, not just as it comes out of these restraints, but also where it would be in 1 or 2 years' time, and to take all those barriers away and say, what do I want my business to look like? Where do I want to be? Who's my customers? So that's a really positive outcome of this lockdown, that people have the time to do that. Of course, a lot of businesses are saying, well, the big question is, will I have a business? And that obviously is a major concern for many.
Yeah, but I think that's definitely, and I think we've tried to change that tone slightly, even in the podcast, but also with our comms to customers, is this is an opportunity to plan. It's also an opportunity to question some of the ways you've done things for maybe however long, last 2 years, 5 years, whatever. Whether that's a process, the type of customers you deal with, the products you serve, how you deliver that service to customers. I think everything's up in the air. And for all our listeners, the next few episodes that we're going to be releasing is very much looking forward and also looking at how you can be more efficient in your business. So keep an eye out for that in the podcast. Greg, first talking point, Tuesday, we got the announcement from the government on some of the new initiatives for business. There was some stuff around tax there, with stuff also for landlords and stuff. But one of the things we wanted to touch on was they've increased the amount that they're going to be offering for what they're calling business consultancy support. And that is a fund set up for the next 12 months. It's going to cost the government $25 million. To assist on things like HR and staffing issues, business continuity planning, health and well-being for business owners, and also finance and cash flow management. There was a previous announcement 2 weeks ago. The fund was only, I think, $4 million at that time, if I remember rightly. So they've beefed that up. Now, this is something that we're working with our customers on. Greg, what's your experience of conversations you've had with customers on this? Because just for everyone, so they know, this is a fund which, depending on where you are in the country, there is some regionalizations. You can get up to $2,500 worth of funding from New Zealand Trade and Enterprise or through your local entity or regional body for support on these subjects. So it's 100% funded, which is awesome. So what is the conversations you have with your customers about this?
Really positive. If you think, while we're in this lockdown period and by far the majority of my customers aren't at work, they're feeling very isolated. So to turn around and say, look, we can give intensive support. And the way we're packaging is that between now and the 30th of June, we have a weekly meeting, 9 to 10 hours of work, where we are literally holding their hand through this challenging period. That has been extremely well received, because they don't feel like they're fighting this battle alone. And to be fair, a lot of them are going, I need professional advice, but I don't know whether my business will be still alive, let alone whether I can pay for it. So it's a chicken and egg situation.
Yep.
So it takes that discussion right off the table.
Yeah, so look, I think it's a great initiative, because I think there's 2 points around that. Yeah, there's obviously getting some expert advice on your business around any of those topics, which are really important right now. But secondly, it's also having someone in your corner that you can actually talk to. I know we had a story from another business partner about a customer who's facing it pretty tough at the moment, and he is the only one we're the only one he's talking to about what could lie ahead. He's not talked to the family, because he doesn't want to face, and you know, so the emotional baggage that this, you know, can bear for business owners and what they're facing. Having someone, as you said, Greg, in their corner is a massive thing, emotionally, mental well-being, but also just sharing some problems, but also getting some ideas. So
absolutely,
I think great initiative.
And also the delivery of it, technology has meant that we can deliver that support and advice in real time. So whether it be through video conferencing, so we're eyeballing each other, the factors, where our clients have online accounting systems, Xero, et cetera.
Yeah.
So these are really in-depth, practical sessions where we in the first instance, we talk about survival, and then we talk about what happens after survival. And it genuinely gives our customers the confidence that there is a plan out of this. So it's about it is as much about emotional well-being as physical well-being, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. So look, if anyone wants more information, we'll put it in the show notes, wherever you're listening to this podcast. This is through the Regional Business Partner Network. If you go to their website, we'll link the website. If you want, there's plenty of suppliers that can help you. Rightway is one of them, but all the information's there. You have to register as a business owner. But if you've got any questions, you can contact us or a provider. So that's the first part. The second part that I guess as accountants we should talk about tax is there was some very exciting, very top of mind for everyone. But I think we've started to get some clarification from the IRD on this now, which kind of is important. Is two parts that I took from Greg on this, and this again was announced by Tuesday by Grant Robinson, was the loss carry back scheme with regards to provisional tax. And also the tax loss continuity rules, which I think is really important if people are looking for investment. So, Greg, do you want to just talk in plain English on what the loss carryback scheme means for business owners?
So fundamentally, provisional tax is paying tax now for the current year, and it's based on last year's performance. So the idea is, the scheme is, because this year is going to be so different to last year, that we can take those losses and apply them against the deemed prof tax liability. So it is it's a cash positive situation in that it reduces the level, or could reduce the level of prof tax you have to pay with the first instalment for most people due in August. That's where the benefit is.
So, look, we're not going to go into massive details on this for all the listeners, because your own situation with tax is a very personal thing to your business. So, look, we would advise having a chat to your accountant. They'll talk you through if it's applicable for you. Very much it's applicable for people who have been been posting some good profits over the last few years, have probably got a significant provisional tax payments to make, but are potentially forecasting a loss this year. That's the businesses this is set up for. The other part, which I think is really interesting, is the tax loss continuity rules, which most people aren't aware of. But the premise of this, Greg, was that if you sold a portion of your business, I think it was over 51%, yep, I think it's the number, the tax losses that you had previously in your business would be foregone and you couldn't use them moving forward. But they've changed those rules. So I think it's 100% that they're looking at. So those changed. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting change they've made as well, Greg.
Yeah, again, this is for companies or businesses that are undercapitalized, both in terms of survival, but also in terms of changing the business model to come out the other side and grow. Yeah. You may have had businesses with losses built up that are worth real money in terms of against future profits. So it's almost going back to the old days where you could have 100% offset. This is probably about a decade or so ago now, so it's going a bit back in time.
Yep.
But a good incentive to help people get capital into their business.
Yeah, cool. So look, If you want any more detail on those, chat to your accountant. There's some really good stuff on the IRD website. The IRD put some stuff in really good plain English for people. If you want some information, again, I'll put the link in the show notes where you are. I guess the key thing we wanted to talk about today was yesterday's announcement by the Prime Minister and the government around Alert Level 3 and what that looked like. So, there's a lot of information there around relation to education, public venues, gatherings and stuff, and they've put a bit more documentation. But we want to talk about workplaces and how this affects business owners, because there's obviously some business owners, yes, they were probably jumping for joy, and others, particularly maybe in your hospo sector, which were probably shaking their heads a little bit. So I think we'll just summarize them, and we will I guess everyone's learning as we go, I guess, for all the listeners. So we are referencing what they call the detailed level plan, which is available on covid19.gov.nz. They've got a big section there on alert level 3 for workplaces. I guess it's bearing in mind that we won't know until Monday, until we're going in, if we're going to be coming out of level 4 on Wednesday. So this is still a little bit up in the air, but I guess it is giving us some clarity. So just a review for everyone is, first point is that the government talked about is, if you can work from home, then you should still work from home. People are required to work from home unless it's not possible. So that's kind of the effort. So I guess a lot of professionals, office-bound people like ourselves have been working from home. We will still carry on because we don't necessarily need to work face-to-face. The second part is, workplace can only open on the following conditions. Workplaces cannot work from home, and workplaces can operate safely. I guess the question there is, what's safely? And we'll go into that a little bit more. And customers are not allowed on premise. I guess that's the big thing that covers off with hospo and also retail. And businesses can trade without physical contact with customers, e.g. through phone, online orders, delivery, pickup, and drive-through. Businesses cannot offer services that involve close personal contact unless it's an essential service, emergency or critical situation. Supermarkets, dairies, petrol stations, business as usual for those guys. And if businesses cannot operate safely, workers must not go to work, and premises should remain closed. Operating safely means the following: complying with alert level three settings in this table, and this refers obviously to this document, meeting appropriate public health requirements for their workplace, including for workers, so that's the social distancing, hand washing, etc., and fulfilling all other health and safety obligations. So that's the sort of the official blurb, but there was talk yesterday about the construction industry being able to get back on board, obviously any of those outdoor sort of thing. But like, Greg, what was your takeaway from alert level three and what that meant for businesses, hopefully leading into next week?
I was listening to the head of the Construction Federation this morning, who felt that that we'll see, he didn't use the word boom, but he expects a significant increase in activity there. Probably the major constraint will be in high-rise construction. But fundamentally, your road works, basically where anyone's sitting in a big machine, they're back full noise. Domestic construction industry, I think will be fine. That will take off again under protocols of distance and health and safety. So that's good. The retail sector, retail businesses that have or have dabbled in an online environment, and one of my clients is a woman's fashion store, has both a bricks and mortar and an online store, they'll be away, and that'll be great. And there is a suggestion that there's a bit of pent-up frustration and being able to spend, so we might see a little spike in retail at this stage. Hospo is a different picture altogether. I'll make this up, for example, a KFC, and you can only do it through drive through. How many people want to sit in the car for 3/4 of an hour? You know,
it's amazing how people, I've seen a lot in social media over the last 24 hours about how exciting people are about KFC. Yeah. So they get a lot of publicity.
They have indeed. But this does raise the question about trading profitably. So we have three elements, I believe, that become a crucial factor. The first is cash flow. So if you are able to trade and get cash coming through the door, then that can be life-saving. Now, in retail, the ability to use platforms like Trade Me or your own platform to get your stock levels down, to liquidate stock, to get some cash, essential. In hospo, that's a different story. So one has got cash flow. Second is profitable. How can you do that where you're actually not going backwards? And the third one is brand. So you may decide, for example, that while you cannot trade profitably, you can sustain that period of trading improfitably because the payoff is that it continues to promote your brand. Your brand's in the market. Your customers are seeing your brand there. So there comes a payoff. My feeling is cash is always king. So that would be the first one. Yep. Can I get cash out of this? And the second one is, can I do this properly? And I feel that if you have a hospo business that is not geared for takeaway or home delivery type service, then I think the mountain might be a bit too high to try and overnight bring that into place.
Because I guess the message here, Greg, is the minute you open your doors to produce a good or service, and it doesn't matter what business you're in, but for hospo, with this example, there's going to be costs because you're going to have some of your staff back on board to do that, to do the work. So you're obviously going to have the chef or whatever. You've got to buy some produce in. I guess the uncertainty on what demand will be post this. And look, are most people hang out for a takeaway? No doubt about it, but it's still crystal ball gazing. Yep. That's money you're investing before cash is coming in the door. And I know the other thing we've talked about is your ability then to actually scale that into a level which is sustainable. So if you can only do two meals in every hour, then it's not going to make any, that's not making you money. You're probably losing money.
And also in hospo, the three elements that are essential is your marginal wages, your marginal materials, and your rent. Well, park the rent to one side. Yep. But if you are talking about re-engineering your process because you can't have that proximity, therefore your margin on labour will crash badly. So whereas before you might be sitting around going, well, after materials and labour, I'm still making 40% gross profit, you might be saying, well, because it's going to take more time for my labour input, for that output, that might crash down to a 20%. However,
yep,
the value of that may be that I'm still getting cash flow. I hope for the hospitality industry's sake that these constraints are not for an extended period of time, because I do fear for that industry if this regime was to carry on for, say, 4 weeks. I think there would be hospitality businesses that would not recover.
No, and I agree with that, Greg. And I think I know that Al Brown, before we even got this announcement earlier in the week, he talked about the fact that he just couldn't see how it would work under level three. And that was before we got the guidelines. But he just talked about the actual economic reality of actually making that work. He was even questioning it then. So, and he's obviously, I think, got three or four restaurants now in Auckland, which are all different price points and levels. And he was talking about all of them. So I think we are obviously eager. The other thing I would say is, I know there's a bunch of businesses which are designed and built around, say, the Uber Eats model or home delivery option, and that's fine. But there is a cost to that. Uber Eats makes money, and there is margin that will be taken away. Just make sure if you're hospital and just really work out the sums before you make a decision here, because we don't want businesses going further backwards, because that could spiral even faster for them. I guess there's other industries that will probably benefit from this. I think people like in the warehousing game, logistics obviously will be fine. Mechanics probably the same sort of thing. Just so you're aware, we talked about what does the public health measures look like. What's on this document is people should keep 2 meters apart outside home where possible. The requirement does not apply to emergency services, and in a controlled environment such as a workplace, 1 meter distance is required. So that is a big difference, is that what they're saying is you need to be able to do 1 meter distancing. They're obviously talking about good disinfecting, washing your hands process and all that sort of stuff, but which is kind of the obvious stuff. But the meter distancing is what they're asking for, which if you've got a warehouse business or mechanics, you could probably do quite easily. So which is good. I guess generally, Greg, is there any advice now? We're kind of looking, what's the next, the next stage and what businesses do. How do people start to ramp up? Because you can't just flick a switch. No. Like, so how do you think people approach this? So we've had time, we've talked about the ability that people have had to think about their businesses, but what do you think the first steps are if we hit the green light on Thursday or whatever it might be?
Don't panic. That's the first step. So, while we all can go a little bit stir crazy, stuck in our bubble, this is the time to plan and to start planning with options. To say, okay, if my turnover was X amount a week, what's my inputs? What does that look like? How am I going to track? How am I going to deliver? Look at your processes. Look at your systems. One of the advantages we have at the moment is you can actually go online and investigate systems if you see there's an improvement. Now, that might be, you might say, well, that's down the track. Well, yes and no, because if your systems are poor now, as you bring on more work or more sales, that's just going to compound the problems.
So
talk to your advisor, take advantage of this NZTE funding, and challenge your advisor and get them to challenge you about what is the way I should be operating. What is my business model? Yep. It's still fundamentals. And at the end of the day, keep saying, what do I have that I can convert to cash? Because that's your bloodline.
Thanks, Greg. I think we've wrapped up, well, not all the news for the week, because there's plenty of news every day, but I think that's some of the hot topics. Yeah. We've actually, Greg talked about systems there. We've actually got a podcast coming out next week with Rod from a company called Fint Consultants, who actually advise company on systems improvement, process improvement, and using technology. And he's got some really good ideas for business owners and how to challenge their existing processes. And the whole conversation is, how do you drive efficiency to help the bottom line? Because if we can get things more efficient, and he talks a lot about how you utilize staff for your higher value work versus admin, which is a good chat. So that'll be coming out next week. So to hit that, subscribe where you're listening to this podcast, and you'll get a notification when that's coming. Any final comments, Greg, before we sign off?
Look, yeah, it's tough times, but we've all been in tough times before. The country's been in tough times before. We'll come out of this the right side. Some businesses will grow, some businesses will change, and some won't make it. But at the end of the day, just stay positive, look at your support networks, and I'm certain use your own skills and trust in yourself.
Thanks, Rick. Right.
Thanks, Stu. Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. For all the information we talked about in this podcast, please refer to the links in the show notes on the podcast app that you're listening to. Once again, feel free to subscribe on the platform you're listening to us, and also check out our social media for any future updates on any new podcasts.